God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Well, we have a lot of things we're going to cover. Julie Kelly actually presented some new information that was unredacted, and it's compelling information about the Jack Smith case and how they were jury shopping, and there's jurisdictional issues, and, you know, so Justice Cannon allowed for these documents to be unredacted. And I'm going to go ahead and share some of this with you now. And then we have a lot of other things we want to cover today as well. There was the big Supreme Court hearing yesterday on housing and homelessness and the Eighth Amendment. And I got to tell you, that subject was very fascinating. And that issue is very complex. And we're going to hear a couple of highlights. And believe it or not, some of the highlights that I have are from Ketanji Brown Jackson and Sotomayor, who actually made some really good points on that topic. And then I have a spin on that, where I think I'm going to offer up something that you've never heard before that's going to be somewhat unique, because nobody has a solution for that problem. But I think there is perhaps, possibly, a potential solution to that problem. So we'll see. We'll get there when we cover that later in the show. We're gonna talk about it. I think it's interesting. Wasn't something I was even planning. It wasn't even on my radar until I discovered these hearings yesterday. And I was like, oh, I didn't know they were doing that hearing. And then I was listening in on it. I was like, wow, that is really fascinating. And Leonora used to work for, in Philadelphia, this homeless advocacy organization. And then it was run by a bunch of liberals, but it involved lawyers and things like that would help homeless people get legal status, get their documents, get a driver's license, get their social security cards, things like that that you need just to function in life. I guess they didn't need an ID to vote. Well, actually, in Pennsylvania, I think you do. But the point is, it was for legal help to get people back on the map, get them back on the grid, into society. And, you know, there's so many issues with regard to that. Like, some of these people don't even know when they were born. Some of these people don't have any ID to prove who they are, to build credit or to get an apartment to live, because they have no proof of who they are. So it's a fascinating subject all the way around, and we're going to talk about that today. But before we do, we're going to get to a couple of other things I just wanted to share that are tidbits, easy peasy stuff. Like, These unelected criminal globalist organizations need to be abolished and banned. That's the United Nations, the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, and the International Monetary Fund to start. I would also say the World Economic, I would also say a bunch of other NGOs too. But I would also say something like the World Bank and others have to be reeled in. But that would be a good start. Anything multinational, multilateral, or global, or international seems to be, standards are fine, but it seems to be used as a distribution of wealth. The Ukraine funding going $60 billion to going to Zelensky. Zelensky's happy, folks. We got congressman kissing his ring, going over to Ukraine, delivering a list of names that are to be paid off. Well, we're going to get to that today as well. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And I know too many people that support funding to Ukraine. It's just ridiculous here in Washington. It's all a slush fund. It's all pay to play. It's all bribery. It's just awful. It's nothing but a money laundering theft from the middle class who really... We were touched upon it yesterday with a caller, but we have taxation without representation at this point. This is what wars are made of. This is why wars start. This is why we had an annexation from England. At some point, you just got to say enough. Civil war is eventual. It's eventually going to happen. No way. Are conservative minds, or people with conservative minds, going to want to pay into a system where the government itself picks winners and losers through, in the name of diversity, equity, and inclusion, or environmental social governance, or any other crap that they make up? And they always put it in a way that you can't argue. Black Lives Matter. Yeah, okay, so what? All lives matter. You're a racist. If you say all lives matter, you're a racist. You have to say Black Lives Matter. But I don't believe that just one skin color matters. I believe all skin colors matter, sir. But no, you can't say that. You don't get it. You don't understand what we're trying to achieve here. Equity. That's what we're doing. Equity. Well, what is equity? Equity is nothing but communism, socialism. We're trying to achieve socialism and communism. I got this person who recorded this Colombian professor. And the Colombian professor was preaching Marxism. The Ivy League schools have turned out to be a breeding ground for Marxism. And it's just awful. Saw this video yesterday of this Israeli professor trying to get into campus with his swipe card on Columbia campus. He was a Columbian professor. And they deleted his card information so he couldn't swipe it and get in. And they wouldn't allow him in because he was an Israeli Jew wearing a Star of David. I don't know if it was for his safety or what, but what kind of ridiculous radical crap is that? Ilhan Omar's daughter goes to Bernard College, another libtard college. Bunch of libtards over there. But she's now like homeless or something because they kicked her out for one reason or another. She's on the doing some interview talking about things. They pay $90,000 a year for that school. Wonder where Ilhan, who slept with her brother, wonder where Ilhan got that kind of bank in just the few years she's been in Congress. She got it because there's cartels paying them to keep the border open. There's people from Turkey, investors that are funding her to keep the Middle East going the way it's going. They start these wars. There was, I read this too. There was liberals in Israel that were aligning with Hamas to start the October 7th attack. Literally, nothing was happening for the Palestinians. So what they did was they decided those who wanted a two-state solution and death to Israel because they didn't like the conservative government, sort of like they want death to Trump, right? They want to ruin Trump because they want it their way. They want America to look like California's slum in a lot of ways. These inner cities in California are just gone to the ground. But they will destroy, just like, you know, in America, you say, oh, you're American. Yeah, but there's nothing, you couldn't tell me there's two people more different than Barack Hussein Obama and President Trump. The two are just completely different. Throw in Biden and you basically got Obama without a brain. You know, you got the puppet and you got the puppet master. But you couldn't ask for anything more different in terms of what they see America to be. And that's the same with, as it was with Saudi Arabia once upon a time. And that's the same with a lot of countries. Like Turkey right now is different under Erdogan, one of Obama's best buddies. And the Muslim Brotherhood and all the corruption that's going on in the Middle East. But this war was started, even though it killed so many innocent people, it was started to advance the position of Hamas, of the Palestinian and Iran. And they're actually gaining in some ways. Like Russia right now has benefited from an oil shortage because they knew that Biden was going to try to appeal to his greenies. And they started this war, and they're richer for it. Russia's better off today than they were before the war started in Ukraine. And Ukraine, if you think that $50, $60 billion is going to change the outcome of this, more people are going to be slaughtered, more people are going to be dead, and in a few months, they're going to go through that $60 billion because it's an election year. All the politicians have to be paid. And they're going to be begging for more. And you're going to say, what do we get for this? More dead people? Russia still is getting what they want? Why do we spend the first $150 to $200 billion in the first place? We're into this for greater than any other country in the world right now. And we're the dumber for it. Since the pandemic began, this is just an aside, but since the pandemic began, the richest 1% have trousered nearly twice as much new wealth as the rest of the world combined. Their fortune soared by $26 trillion, increasing their share of new wealth from 50% to two-thirds. It's the greatest transfer of wealth in history. And now they're compounding it with inflation and endless war spending in Israel, in Taiwan, and in Ukraine. And all of that money comes with strings attached. All these different organizations, much of them run by Lloyd Austin and Anthony Blinken, they sit on the boards of these companies, these organizations, who are the ones on the short list that manage the money, that allow them to actually deli out. And probably only a third of the money actually makes it to the real cause, the war, the battle that they so-called are going to help Ukraine. And everybody else is paid. So there's a study. Biden's proposed tax hike. He's proposing a tax hike, which would be the largest tax increase in U.S. history. Could mean a 2.2% drop in economic output, a 1.6% wage cut, and the elimination of 800,000 full-time jobs. Never mind that. It's not a problem because it's all going to go to illegals anyway. Again, they don't care about you, the middle class. That just means that another 800,000 of you are going to fall into poverty and become dependent on your government. if you wanted to leave the country and go to somewhere else, you couldn't afford it. So you're screwed either way. They got you. It's how we actually broke the back of Iran. You know, but we should be doing that to our adversaries and not the people that made this country. And no, it wasn't the unions that made this country. It was the middle class itself. Joe Biden recently made the statement, the middle class didn't build this. The unions that built the middle class did. Wow. So anyway, that's what's going on around your neck of the woods. Here's what's going on in your neck of the woods. That's what's going around here. I was trying to do Al Roker. Al Roker was getting sued because he wanted to hire two white writers. And they said, no, you got to have black writers, said NBC, who's suing Al Roker for hiring the wrong color of writers, even though Al Roker's black. Huh. Anyway, let's take a listen to this.
The Trump campaign, they are blasting President Biden's recent budget proposal. Like you said, they're claiming it's going to result in the largest tax hike ever. And they said this, it would, quote, take nearly $40,000 away from the average American family who is already losing thousands every year due to Biden's record high inflation crisis. Now, for context, Biden's proposal takes aim at the wealthy and corporations. It calls for a minimum 25% tax hike for households making over $100 million. It raises the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. But if you think about it, that could have a trickle-down effect. So there was a recent study by the Tax Foundation. It predicts this could result in a 2.2% drop in economic output. Wages could be slashed by 1.6%, and close to 800,000 full-time jobs would go away. The Trump campaign, they are blasting.
Yeah, well, it's just more government power. You know, I read this list of things that we were able to do once upon a time that we are no longer allowed to do today. If I find that, I'm going to share it with you. It's so revealing and so remindful of what it is, the freedoms that we've given up. It's startling when you read this list. Makes you think as well. So here's another thing. We want to talk a little bit about corruption. And Lena Habham made a great statement yesterday. We're going to play that. Matthew Calangelo. So Molly Hemingway, who is really someone I respect, used to be the, but Matthew Calangelo used to be the number three under Merrick Garland at the Department of Justice. Now what is he doing? He left that cushy job to be a line prosecutor in a city office. That shows how coordinated this is. This is part of a widespread and coordinated effort. He's the boss. That way they don't have to talk to each other. They already have the boss in place to take down their political opponents.
Points. Who was leading the opening statement today against the president?
Matthew Calangelo, who used to be the number three under Merrick Garland at the Department of Justice. He left that cushy job at the Department of Justice to go be a line prosecutor in a city office. That shows how coordinated this is. It's not just him. In fact, there was a law firm here in New York City that's known as a Democrat law firm that handed over a few of its attorneys to help bring charges against Donald Trump. This is part of a widespread and coordinated effort, and I think everyone kind of knows it. But it is really interesting.
Points. Who was leading the opening statement today against the president?
All right, so I'm going to try to find this Lena Habba interview here in just a second. Here's a meme as I run through it. I let Putin invade Georgia. Obama, I let Putin invade Crimea. Biden, I let Putin invade Ukraine. And Trump, I didn't let Putin invade anybody. All right, so we got this Lena Habba thing that I wanted to play as well. Right here. Let's see. Here we go. This is Lena Habba coming out of court yesterday in New York.
Ms. James, to come here and see our client. The fact that we have two courts, not one, criminal and civil, being used against one man because they cannot beat him in the polls is a disgrace to the American judicial system. He should not have two teams of lawyers here today. He should not even be here today because he did nothing wrong. It is the epitome of a witch hunt. I just left where a judge asked us whether our cash, sitting in. Ms. James wanted to argue and say that our cash somehow isn't green enough. We wasted time. The judge made a comment saying he thought that money market accounts could go down under the amount. He doesn't even understand basic principles of finance. But this was the man that decided that we owed money and my client committed fraud. We are going to attack every single one. 1 hour, the attorney general and that judge realized quickly that they had no idea what they were talking about. We came to an agreement that everything would be the same. We would modify terms, and that was it. This is where your taxpayer dollars are going, America. Right here. Witch hunt after witch hunt. President Trump's company was worth more in that case than it is now. And now what? We're here because of something that happened when he was in the White House that wasn't even wrong. It was not wrong. You hire lawyers to solve problems. Lawyers solve those problems. You pay them. That's it. This is a joke. It's an affront to the American Constitution. It's an affront to our judicial system. And it's an affront to every lawyer that cares about their license, that cares about what is right and wrong. I am sick of coming in front of the press and saying this, but you have to, because you people need to understand what is going on. God forbid you put an accounting thing in for legal counsel. It's legal counsel. And now our taxpayer dollars, my time, our attorney's fees, are all here because they're afraid of 2024. And you know what? They should be, because the American people are not stupid. They see what's going on. Thank you.
Alito, one question.
Wow, she gave him hell there, right? It's pretty incredible. Got this other meme here that I wanted to share with you while it's posted. Here's inflation. So we got inflation at same point in presidency. Energy, 0% for Trump, 38.8, almost 40% for Biden. Gasoline, 48% for Biden, negative 2% for Trump. Electricity, 3% inflation under Trump, 30% inflation under Biden. Natural gas, almost 30% for Biden, negative 2% for Trump. Groceries, 22% for Biden, 3.3% for Trump. Eggs, for example, 50% for Biden, 49.3, I just rounded up, 3.6% negative, 3.6% on eggs for Trump. Milk went up 2.6% under Trump, 15% under Biden. Chicken, 3.7% inflation for chicken under Trump, 23.9%, 24%. Almost a 25% almost for chicken. Transportation, up 32.5%. Under Trump, it was only up 2.3%. Airfare, under Trump, it was a minus 14%, went down. Under Biden, it went up 33%. Public transportation, negative 8.1% under Trump. It went up 22 percentage points under Biden. Used cars, 21% under Biden, 2.4% under Trump. Apparel, 13.5% for Biden, 0.6%, not even a percentage point for Trump. That's inflation at the same point in the presidency. Donald Trump shares this information, shares the difference between him and Joe Biden when it comes to inflation under both administrations. So the Trump team put that out. That's legit. Totally legit. So anyway, the freedoms that we need, you know, the freedoms we used to have in like the 80s and the freedoms that we have now are like two different things altogether. I can't find that meme that I was looking for, but I might be able to find it before the show is through. oh, right here. Here it is. I did find it. Well, no, I didn't. Okay, so basically they were talking about the way people are living in this one meme. And in the 2020s as compared to the 1960s. it's quite different. Here's another one. Pay taxes in your income. Pay taxes when you buy your things. Pay taxes when you use your things. And you pay taxes when you sell your things. That's not freedom, folks. That's not freedom at all. The RNC and Trump campaign to hire 100,000 election integrity operatives to watch polls on Election Day. I suggest everybody sign up to be a poll watcher just to keep a presence out there. I think that there's going to be ways that they're going to cheat that we're not going to be able to see, like a virus that could be on your computer right before you're, while you're working on it. You just don't know. But nevertheless, every little bit is going to help. Get your cameras out, get yourself out there, and try to make a difference if you care about your country. All right, so I'm going to get to another topic today that we wanted to talk about, and that is, oh, I wanted to play this clip too. This was from the other day. Obama's third eye in the White House is this man. He's calling the shots. He is why Iran Hamas attacked Israel. Now he's panicking. I think this is going to be Jake Sullivan, but let's just see.
As the world settles into the fog of war and Iran tries to destroy Israel, Biden's out here mumbling about cannibals. And the question that at first arose out of comic curiosity arises now with pressing panic. Who is in charge of America right now? It sure isn't Creepy Joe or Tipsy Kamala. The guy responsible for all the war and destruction in the world right now is Biden's national security advisor, Jake Sullivan. He's calling the shots. Sullivan was Hillary Clinton's former deputy chief of staff. He rose through the ranks very quickly and became a core member of Obama's inner circle. Arguably, he is the actual manifestation of Obama's third term in the White House. The annual meeting of the world's most powerful people at Davos is usually attended by the president in his first term. But when Joe Biden was deemed too incapable of attending Davos, they didn't send Vice President Kamala, as is protocol. They sent Jake Sullivan. Sullivan has been called a once-in-a-generation talent. Hillary thought he'd be president one day. Joke's on her. He's the unelected president of the United States right now. And with his talent, he's ushered in World War III. But here he is, touting the success of his policies just last October.
The Middle East region is quieter today than it has been in two decades.
Jake Sullivan shouldn't just be fired. Given his track record in the last 12 years, he should be investigated for espionage and treason. What reasonable person, when faced with Iranian missiles targeting U.S. soldiers, stands up and suggests we should send our enemies billions of dollars in cash to solve the problem? Sullivan spearheaded Obama's Iran deal. He sent plane loads of cash to help Iran build their nuclear program. One of his first acts at the White House under Biden was to undo Trump's terrorist designation of Iran's top terror group, the Houthis. Sullivan oversaw the Afghanistan withdrawal. He oversaw the hiring of top Iranian sympathizers in top positions at the Pentagon and State Department. Sympathizers who were emailing Iranian officials as if they were their bosses. Ariane Tabatabai, Ali Vaez, Dina Isfandari, just to name a few. Sullivan put known Hamas sympathizer Rob Malley in charge of Iran talks. Malley's clearance has since been suspended. The only thing standing in the way of Iranian empowerment? Saudi Arabia. So that's why Biden called Saudi Arabia a pariah. The Saudis loved Trump. There was peace in the Middle East back then. But remember when Biden decided he did not want to be seen shaking hands with the crown prince? This was the moment Saudi Arabia and the crown prince took a giant step back from America. And now the Middle East is in more turmoil than it has been in two decades. Sullivan is now panicking. He's made a mistake. So he's flown all year back and forth to Saudi Arabia, and they laugh at him. Case in point, last week, the White House delicately admitted that they had to postpone Sullivan's fifth trip to Saudi Arabia in a year. The reality? the Saudis canceled. Saudi Arabia has always offered a balance against Iran in the Middle East. Trump understood this, but Jake Sullivan and Obama ticked them off and spit in their face. Jake Sullivan underestimated just how much this would actually backfire. So now the Saudis are showing the world what it is like to have no control over the Middle East. And now Sullivan is desperate to bring them back. And this is why Democrats cannot be in charge of the executive branch. At heart, they're all about food stamps and transgender rights. But the moment that they try their hand on actual foreign policy where real issues are on the line, they send in the Ivy League ivory tower lightweights, the head heavy, muscle light, pure theory Pollyannas with treason on their minds. Iran's biggest victory is not starting a war with Israel and the Western world. Their biggest victory is Jake Sullivan becoming the proxy president for the United States. For One America News, I'm Chanel Rion, and this is the...
That was Chanel Rion. She was a great White House press journalist back, I guess, in the Trump days, but back in the Obama days, and then she was banned from the Obama, you know, from the Obama, like Jen Psaki didn't like her. But yeah, she was sort of annexed. But she is a bold journalist, this Chanel Rion. I follow her. She actually follows me too. But she's very, very talented. All right, so got some other stuff for you, and wanted to play that though, because I've been talking about Jake Sullivan for a long time. And nobody talks about him. Nobody does. I do. Chanel Rion does. But a lot of people aren't aware, you know, that he was the advisor for Obama. He is Obama's advisor. Biden was forced to use Susan Rice and Jake Sullivan. They were the spies on Trump. They're the evil, most evil individuals and the most powerful when it comes to foreign policy in the United States today. And they suck at what they do. They literally stink at it. They're if they say do A, and there's a choice between A and B, you better believe the right answer is B. They're wrong 100% of the time, because their ideology is what allows them to be so misguided. So thanks, Julie. I'm going to get to this Julie Kelly segment now on the Scott Adams Show here. So thanks to order by Judge Cannon, so woman judge, female judge, key evidence related to classified docs case is now unredacted. On the left, what was DOJ Jack Smith wanted to conceal? And it's all redacted. And on the right, now we know why, the more proof. So basically she says, outrageous lies by Joe Biden, Attorney General Merrick Garland, and DOJ Jack Smith about independence from investigations into Trump. The Biden White House and DOJ woo intimately involved in developing a criminal case against Trump for the records management. It appears the first go-around related to alleged destruction of government papers. Contrary to public and legal assertions, NARA, which is the archives, was working with DOJ White House to craft a criminal referral by September 2021, 5 months before the official referral by NARA to DOJ in February 2022. Government redactions on left, newly redacted, unredacted filings on the right. It's too much to read, so it would bore you. I think it would bore you. But it is posted up on my Twitter X account. So it's just go to @ScottAdamsShow and follow me on there. A lot of stuff that's on my Twitter feed or X feed is not making it to the show. But they're really good bits of information. So I encourage all of you to follow me on X. And that is, I am at @ScottAdamsShow. And If you do x.com/ScottAdamsShow, you'd find my page there. Or twitter.com/ScottAdamsShow. You would get there. Now you know why the insiders like Andrew Weissman and Barb McQuaid are desperate to get rid of Judge Cannon. Without her courage on this matter, incriminating evidence of Biden's White House and DOJ running the investigation show behind the scenes would be buried maybe forever. So the DOJ told NARA what to do to cover their tracks. So to clear up any confusion as to what Special Counsel Jack Smith sought to conceal in classified documents case, this is what Smith told Judge Cannon in February 2024 in response to Trump's motion to compel discovery from numerous government agencies. Defendants are not entitled to discovery of internal government correspondence and memoranda or to documents that are otherwise privileged. Two, the court should deny defendants' request for evidence of improper coordination with NARA and of bias and investigative misconduct. Three, the court should deny defendants' requests for evidence related to Trump's security clearance with Department of Energy. Four, the court should deny defendants' request, defendant being Trump, deny Trump's request for evidence related to secure facilities at President Trump's residencies. Number five, the court should deny Trump's request for production of materials concerning the search of Mar-a-Lago. And finally, six, the defendant's request Trump's request for unredacted discovery of materials should be denied. Unredacted discovery. It's all right here. So that sounds like a real sham of a case. Unbelievable that they would go that far. Details previously under seal related to August 22nd raid at Mar-a-Lago. Here's the document. And I just read it to you. All right. So, wow. That is amazing. The same game they play with J6 discovery, the DOJ. So that it's called Brady, exculpatory evidence. That's evidence that helps your case, not hurts it. They violated Brady on every turn. The same game they played with January 6th. The DOJ has no respect for Brady obligations. So Jack Smith was trying to cover up for Joe Biden going after his political opponent. That's all this is. The third world dictatorship stuff. So here we have corruption. U.S. Representative Keating from Massachusetts handed Zelensky a list of members of Congress who voted for the $61 billion payment to Ukraine. Why would the president of a foreign power need a list of names of politicians who sent him billions? Please share your ideas below. Okay, so I shared my idea. Money sent to Ukraine has strings attached that require the use of liberal operators to approve and misuse funds that ultimately fall under the umbrella of kickbacks, bribes, and pay-to-play schemes for the next round of funding. That's what it is. So Pentagon to send 60 advisors to Ukraine, says the conservative roof.com. Okay, so this news organization, this is news. Pentagon is sending 60 advisors to Ukraine. Huh? I wonder why. It's military advisors under Lloyd Austin's charge. So Pentagon is preparing to send 60 additional military advisors. Military advisors, my foot. In other words, there has been too many coked up, sniffing, you know, your nose with coke, coked up Ukrainian oligarchs spotted buying mega mansions and fancy cars in places like Monaco when the money is supposed to go to liberal and neocon reelection campaigns. So now we're in election year. They're sending 60 advisors to make sure that the money's not going up somebody's nose in the form of Coke, or buying fancy Bentleys and Rolls Royces like they have been, or buying yachts, or buying mansions, mega mansions in Monaco and down along the Mediterranean, so that they could entertain their escorts and women that they pay for. So, I mean, that's what's going on here, folks. And so it was getting out of hand. It was getting embarrassing. People were all over the place starting to get wise to it. And they were like, hey, wait a second. You're spending too much of our taxpayers' dollars. You gotta get away from that. It's embarrassing. You're going to ruin it for all of us. And not only that, but it's an election year. If you want to have more money next year, we're going to have to get reelected this year. So we need money to get reelected. That's what it is. So we got censorship alive and well in Brazil. They're protesting like crazy. X is the one that's leading the way, Elon Musk, on this free speech thing. And I got to tell you, I just got prompted and warned on many occasions now recently on Twitter, or X, where I posted something just today and I got flagged for it. So that never happened since Elon Musk took over. But today it did. So he's feeling the pressure, I'm sure. But Australian Senator Jackie Lambie says Elon Musk needs to be jailed. Let's take a listen to what she has to say.
Elon Musk has no social conscience or conscience whatsoever. I don't know whatever Elon Musk is on. It says that that's okay to continue to air that is absolutely disgusting behaviour. And quite frankly, the bloke should be jailed. And the sooner that we can bring rules in or do something about this sort of game playing with our social media, the better off we're going to be. But quite frankly, the power that that man has, because of that platform that he's on, it's got to stop. It has absolutely got to stop. Elon Musk has no...
So she's talking about free speech. She's talking about censoring Elon Musk. And that's because Elon Musk is the only source of truth in the world. Here she is again, this crazy Tasmanian senator, Jackie Lambie, from Australia, encourages all politicians to delete their accounts. So go ahead, delete them. We'll have less disinformation on Twitter.
But I say this to everybody else. I'll be switching off X today. I'll be doing that before I get to the airport this afternoon. And I suggest that the other 226, there's 227 members of parliament do the same thing and show them that you mean business. Because when you want to lead by example, it has to happen from here. It has to happen from here.
She's from the
top. Start switching off X. Start throwing it back at him. But we've got to start from here.
Well, yeah, so this woman thinks she's at the top of the food chain. So she's going to be the leader. It's going to, I guess she's, she reminds me of, I don't want to say it because it's misleading. She reminds me a little of Marjorie Taylor Greene, but only from the left. Like a left-wing lunatic, Marjorie Taylor Greene. But she's absolutely monstrously stupid, like an Ocasio-Cortez or an Ilhan Omar or, you know, Lee Jackson from Texas. You know, these people are just morons. How about the guy, Hank Johnson from Georgia, who thought that Guam was going to tip over, right? We're going to go ahead and pass on the call just now. I know I see calls coming in, but we have to pass on it for now. All right. So X refuses Australian push for global censorship. Following the knife attack on Bishop Mary Emmanuel in Sydney, the Australian eSafety Commissioner issued an order to social media platforms to take down content related to the attack. While X complied with the request in Australia, the eSafety Commissioner expanded their order to take down the content globally. X Global Government Affairs. X has now received a demand from the eSafety Commissioner that X globally withhold these posts or face a daily fine of $785,000 in Australian dollars, about 500,000 US dollars a day. So while X respects the right of a country to enforce its laws within its own jurisdiction, the e-safety commissioner does not have the authority to dictate what content X's users can see globally. We will robustly challenge this unlawful and dangerous approach in court. So this guy here is their leader. Let's take a listen to this Australian leader.
By and large, people...
This is the Australian Prime Minister says X's fight against removing church stabbing footage is extraordinary.
Responded appropriately to the calls by the eSafety Commissioner. X chose not to.
This guy's name, by the way, is Anthony Albanese. Anthony Albanese.
X chose not to. They stand... I think I find it extraordinary that X chose not to comply and are trying to argue their case. We know, I think, overwhelmingly Australians want misinformation and disinformation to stop. This isn't about freedom of expression. This is about the dangerous implications that can occur when things that are simply not true, that everyone knows is not true, are replicated and weaponized in order to cause division, and in this case to promote negative statements and potentially to just inflame what was a very difficult situation. And social media has a social responsibility.
Well, this endless migration is happening everywhere because it's a new world order change. And so Global Government Affairs by X says the recent attacks in Australia are a horrific assault on free society. Our condolences go out to those who have been affected. So this guy, Elon Musk responds to that and says it is absurd for any one country to attempt to censor the entire world. You know, it is. It's absolutely disgusting. And let's hear what this guy had to say, because this guy was this church leader who said this, and he was attacked by anti-Christians because they're allowing them in the border unchecked and unverified and unvetted. But let's see. This is why the media wants to silence Bishop Marmari Emmanuel, and why they were so quickly to try and discredit him after the attack in Sydney's West. Does it make sense yet?
Well, what is happening is nothing but deliberate evil action by the secret societies. What does it benefit a man if he gains the whole world, yet at the end loses himself? So what, you're a prime minister? So what, you're a president? So what, you're a king? So what, you're a church leader? Stop enslaving people. And enough lies. Enough lockdowns. This is slavery.
Lockdowns.
And enough so-called corona.
Corona.
It can be treated quiet, easily with proven medications, not untested, so-called experimental vaccines done by evil intentions.
Proven ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine.
Let Bill Gates jab himself with it. Let the Rockefeller jab themselves with it. Let the Rothschild jab themselves with it. Let Klaus Schwab jab himself with it. Let George Soros jab himself with it. Enough stupidity. Stop forcing people to take vaccination because of safety measures. Get a life. Is there anyone among you to be a man to stand up and speak the truth, even if it takes them to be kicked out? Is there? Are you all cowards? Has money blinded you? well.
Well, that was just so powerful. So this guy, he's dressed in all white with a bishop's uniform, like an outfit on with crosses and gold, white. And then he's got this, he's in his church. It's a sermon he's giving. Not scripted. That's not a speech. He's not reading that. It's coming from his heart and soul. So watch this. This is, by the way, I want to get to the homeless topic. We're probably going to run out of time because I have two or three clips that I wanted to play that are going to be 3 minutes each. We're running out of time today. But that is a topic that's universal and can wait till tomorrow. So we are going to do that, carry that over till tomorrow, the homeless, Supreme Court homeless hearing. I think it's a fascinating topic. I have them all queued up right now. I mean, I could literally play it right here.
You know, it seems both.
But I'm not going to play it right now. I'm gonna play something else because I need 10, 15 minutes to cover that topic, and I don't have it. So to do it justice, it's going to be really, really interesting. But for now, let's take a listen to this. This is somewhat entertaining. Also, the Marxist segment, I have a clip from that, and we may or may not get to that. Let's take a listen to this. This is 1.5 minutes. A warning to America, 25 ways the USA is being destroyed, explained in under 2 minutes. Let's take a listen.
A warning to America, 25 ways the US is being destroyed in under 2 minutes. One, open borders and illegal immigration. 2. Rampant crime and unsafe cities. 3. Mass addiction and fentanyl. 4. Election insecurity and interference. 5. The educational indoctrination of children. 6. The asymmetrical weaponization of justice. 7. The destruction of private property rights. 8. Inflation and debt. 9. The global depopulation agenda. 10. Record low fertility and plummeting birth rates. 11. Unaccountable federal bureaucracies. 12. Toxic food supply. 13. Vaccine and pandemic disinformation. 14. The trans contagion and sterilization of children. 15. Overprescription of pharmaceuticals. 16. Destruction of the nuclear family and parental rights. 17. DEI and the new racism. 18. Moral and societal decay. 19. The financing of endless foreign wars. 20. The sprawling surveillance state. 21. The centralization and consolidation of government power. 22. The destruction of trust in institutions. 23. The censorship industrial complex. 24. State media propaganda. 25. The smearing of those who challenge it.
History promises only this for certain. We will get exactly what we deserve. Paul Harvey.
Log 2050-01.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. That was a rocky ride right there is what that was. So here's a professor at Columbia, I believe. And this is what he's preaching. Okay, let's take a listen.
Has long ceased to be self-evident. Here at Columbia, we host panels such as this. We also host a weekly reading group where we read the history of the left, which meets every Sunday at 1:30 in the IAB lounge where the cafe is.
The generation that's in this room is probably the last generation that has a chance of doing anything about it, or we are really fucked. And that's true. So, with that in mind, I want to say something about the relevance of Marxism to the ecological crisis. So the principal way to see it is to think about why Marxism, why the ecological crisis cannot be solved within the parameters of capitalism. That means, by the way, you have a huge task ahead of you. You've got to dismantle capitalism within the next generation or so, or it's doomsday. If that's correct.
So these are the hippies from radical hippies from the 60s that hated capitalism then, that are now your children's professors today. You know, Bill Ayers wrote, was the ghostwriter for Obama's book and helped launch Barack Obama's Senate career and presidential career. So he was a Weather Underground terrorist. And yet he teaches at what? He used to teach at Northwestern Chicago University. Hey, that brings us to the end of the Scott Adams Show. Be sure to check out MAGAPAC.org. Make a donation if you'd like to keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free. Use Red State as your promo code over at MyPillow.com. We'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye, buddy.